For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
We have our short way. everyone. Welcome to episode number... What number is this? 221 of MSRcast.
Just forgetting everything about our show.
What's the name of the show again? I can't remember.
Yeah, 221. That sounds about right.
And thanks for joining us. I'm the Metal Pigeon. I mean, I am Carrie the Metal Geek.
I'm Sean the Metal Pigeon.
How's it going, man?
Yeah, it's going good.
We haven't had enough drinks yet. I think that's what the problem is.
Yeah, again with the chocolate whiskey.
Yes, I had to buy a new bottle yesterday.
It's irresistible. What can we say?
It really is. It's they're not sponsors of the show, but if they want to, it's Bird Dog Whiskey. They make other flavors too, which are really good as well.
Yeah, they do weird flavors, right?
They do, yeah. I know a lot of people don't like flavored whiskey, but I'm definitely not one of those guys.
I mean,
like, I like good. I really like good whiskey too, but
right. Yeah, you're a whiskey. Like my brother's a whiskey guy. He's got like a collection of stuff. With me, I'm really particular with whiskey. I think what I realized is that I don't really like Irish whiskey as much as I wanted to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too creamy in the mouthfeel. No. And cinnamon whiskey, just keep that stuff away from me. I don't want anything like that.
Cinnamon. I do have one bottle of cinnamon whiskey, but it's Hellboy.
Yeah.
And I've opened it once, and it's not very good.
It's not very good.
No. But it's Hellboy, so, you know.
Yeah.
I have to keep it in my collection.
Yeah.
All right. So, first band we heard today, Majestica. One of my favorite albums of the year so far.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty good power metal.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been
There's been a lot of good power metal this year so far.
This is on my Spotify saved artist to play.
Yep.
I haven't gotten around to it today. In fact, this is the first time I heard it just now before the show. And I was telling you, like my initial impression was like, I don't remember Rainseed being this good, or at least I don't remember myself enjoying Rainseed this much. I liked what I heard.
So for people that don't know, Majestica is the band. It's the same band. They've changed their name. They used to be Rainseed. Rainseed. Reinxeed.
I've heard people just say Rainseed.
Rainseed. Yeah. It makes sense. However you want to say it. That's right. The band. Which I like those guys, too. They were not just symphonic, power metal-ish, but it was very much influenced by like movie soundtracks and epic scores and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You definitely hear that in here. Speaking of epic movie scores, they cover a song on this album. It's the same song to Spaceballs, the Mel Brooks movie.
Right.
When I first heard the album, I was like, wait a minute. It says Spaceballs. It can't be Spaceballs. It's definitely Spaceballs. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Makes me want to see the movie over and over and over now.
We're suckers for covers on this show.
We definitely are.
Yeah.
But it's cool. I like them a lot. I liked Rainseed before.
I need to go back and give them another chance because I remember being impressed with the debut and then just like, I don't know, not thinking much of them later. And when I heard that he had joined Sabaton, I thought, oh, that's an interesting use of that guy's talent, you know? The guy is undeniably talented. I remember just watching YouTube clips of him on the Swedish equivalent to The Voice or American Idol, Swedish Idol, whatever it was. He's singing Roxette songs on stage. He just sounds amazing, yeah.
Tommy Johansson?
Yeah.
They are from Boden, Sweden as well.
Yeah.
So they're in the same place from Sabaton.
Right.
Which makes sense for him to sort of join the band.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they all ran in the same circles or knew each other. Yeah. He's a young guy, though. I think he's considerably younger than the guys in Sabaton, so.
Oh, yeah. So they were influenced by soundtrack movies such as Lord of the Rings and bands like Helloween with Michael Kiske.
Yeah.
Nothing sounds bad about that right there at all.
Yeah. Kiske's got to be a cornerstone of any kind of power metal influence, I would hope.
Yes.
At least trickling down the line. And it's weird. I've been thinking a lot about power metal history lately because I've been working on this thing for the Metal Pigeon, basically my essential 10 power metal albums. Mm-hmm. And I was making these hard cuts, and I realized today I actually had to cut Gamma Ray, Land of the Free, because I was like, well, you know, if you have Helloween's Keeper of the Seven Keys on there, this is a direct continuation from Helloween, Gamma Ray. like it's almost kind of superfluous, you know,
yeah.
rather than saying like Ed Guy, Mandrake or something, where there was a queer influence from like these young kids who grew up listening to Helloween, rather than just an ex-member of Helloween forming another band and that, releasing a, you know, well, arguably one of the greatest power metal albums of all time. I'm not saying that he didn't.
Land of the Free?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but it's hard. These little essential things, I'm trying to roll out, they're hard. I've been like trying to work on that and the Melodeath one. It's just like difficult, very difficult.
So let's go back to Sabaton real quick.
Yeah.
This leads to a couple different things. There was two big metal festivals over this past weekend. I watched live stream from both of them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hellfest was going on in France, and then in Belgium was Grass Pop.
Right.
I watched Testament from Hellfest, and I watched Testament actually at Grass Pop. They played the same weekend, you know. Who else did I watch at Grass Pop? I watched Hammerfall. Who else was there? Unfortunately, Children of Bodom.
Immolation.
I watched the Immolation set, which is pretty fucking awesome. I was working out at the gym yesterday on my phone watching Immolation live, and then Immolation was over, and it like switched to Clutch next. I'm like, all right, this still works.
Right.
It still got me going.
Right.
Clutch are pretty good live. I don't know all their music or anything like that, but they're pretty fun.
Yeah. I saw them once a long time ago in 2003 or 4.
I saw them a few years ago when Devin Townsend opened for them.
Okay, yeah.
My buddy Mark, I've known probably since like seventh grade, huge fan of Clutch.
Yeah, that was my thing. I worked with a guy at the time who was a big fan of him. He's like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
I'll pay for your tickets. Like, all right, you're paying. Let's go.
That's, you know, he did that to me. We were in when we first joined, went to college together. This is a sidetrack moment, but he's like, there's this new band and they're really like industrial metal type of stuff. I'm like, all right. He's like, they're performing tonight at Numbers, and they're doing an in-store at some store like in Montrose somewhere. I'm like, all right. He's like, can you take me over there? I was like, I guess. He's like, I'll buy your ticket into the show and buy you a CD to get autographed. I'm like, all right, okay, fine. Yeah. And it turned out to be the band with Marilyn Manson.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Geez, what year was that?
93, 94. Oh, wow. 94 when the album first came out. They were sort of nobodies yet.
Right, yeah, because Mechanical Animals was, or no, Antichrist Superstar was 96.
This was Portrait of an American
Family. Right, 94, okay, yeah.
I still have that autograph, that CD autograph,
too. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, that was fun. They were good.
Yeah.
Going back to the bands, there was another band I can't remember that I thought was really good. I watched Anthrax, of course.
Right.
It's fun just to be able to watch live streams of bands from like halfway around the world, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, yeah.
It's pretty cool that we actually live in an age when that can happen.
Yeah.
You know what band I did not see live?
Who's that?
Manowar.
Oh, yeah.
Nice segue, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, boy.
If you're listening to the show and you are a fan of Manowar, I apologize for what we're about to say. I have never been a fan of this band. I don't like them. Never have. And I love cheesy power metal. Don't get me wrong. It's just Manowar has never been something that I've gotten into. But what they pulled this weekend, diva bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say for my part, I really like Manowar. I think that Kings of Metal and Triumph of Steel are two of the best metal records of the 80s. But they really make it hard to like them. Sometimes, from extortionist fucking ticket prices for North American tours, $100 a piece, fuck you, for a House of Blues show, to
really
canceling like a Milwaukee Metal Fest back in when they canceled that one, 01 or something.
Oh, really?
They have a history of diva moves, cancellations. This was the worst one yet. This was the worst one.
This was
yet.
Like the day of the show.
You get the Friday slot at Hellfest, maybe the third biggest metal festival in the world at this point, and you show up on site with your gear and your crew, and the rumor right now is that the stage wasn't big enough and they weren't allowed to break the legal law decibel limit in the country of France, and the promoters have no control over that. The entire festival gets shut down by authorities if they break that rule.
So I'm sure there were people watching it too.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sure
listening for it.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
They had decibel readers.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is apparently the reason why you take your toys away and go home. like a little kid throwing a tantrum.
That's what it is. They fucking threw a little tantrum, whiny little
bitch fest. This is the band who says other bands play Man of War Kills. Apparently, like, Man of War doesn't even play.
I was about to say, they don't even play. That's something about they Man of War plays loud or something like that.
I heard this on Friday. Like, I got a text, like a little thing. I was an update, and I was just like, that's weird. Like, maybe someone fell sick or something. And then when I learned about it later on in the evening, I got really angry. Yeah. Like, I got like, I was just, I guess I felt bad for like people who like went there for Manowar. This is their final tour. They have this, I've seen some of the footage of the actual production they're putting on this tour. It's really great. They have these great screens on stage and it's a cool production, a lot of pyro and stuff. It's like, even if you couldn't go on Hellfest and in that stage and give what you thought was your best show, at least the proper move is to go on stage with a chip on your shoulder, give your fans the best show you could possibly, even rip into the promoters from the stage and be like, hey, we wish we could have made this better for you guys.
Yeah.
These guys are holding us back, you know?
Right, right.
But at least play. I mean, number one is at least play. Don't.
Because the only people they're hurting now are their fans.
Right.
The people that paid and came to Hellfest specifically to see Manowar, there's like, you know what? Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Who cares?
They're not even on the undercard. Like, when I mean they're the headliner, I mean, when you look at the poster for Hellfest this year, they're the headliner on Friday. They're the top band, major logo. Right next to them is fucking Kiss on Saturday night. So that's the kind of move they pulled. And now Sabaton played the night before at Knotfest, which is on the site next to Hellfest.
Oh, really?
And so they were the band, I think they were right before Slipknot.
So what is Knotfest? Is it a Slipknot
thing? Yeah.
Festival?
Yeah.
But is it part of Hellfest?
Well, this year Slipknot teamed up with Hellfest to do a special Knotfest/Hellfest.
So it was like a pre-show event?
It was like they had theirs the day before on the site next to Hellfest.
Oh, okay.
And they kind of teamed up, basically. So Sabaton had a pretty prestigious billing on that one. They played, I think they played right before Slipknot played. And they went all out. I mean, they had, I saw the Instagram feed that night. They had like, you know, they have the tank on stage.
Yeah.
So they have pyro going from the stage. They had pyro in the back of the festival grounds, like almost like bombs hitting. So they're like shooting things from the stage. And it's
that's
like hitting
awesome.
Them. It's like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking at Friday, Manowar, they're the headliners. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, and okay, so they play the show, really great show. But after the show, Joakim Brodén realizes that he's blown out his voice.
Yeah.
He can barely talk. And then they get the call from the Hellfest guys telling them, like, hey, Manowar pulled out. Can you guys come over here and
since you're nearby.
And fill in last minute. They agree, even though I think they kind of knew that his voice was kind of shaky. He lasts about four songs in on the Hellfest set, and his voice goes out. And Mr. Tommy Rainseed here fills in.
Well, and the other guitar player was singing too.
And what's his name? Chris, I always forget his last name. Chris Borland or something?
Borland or something like that, yeah.
Who's a competent vocalist. Tommy, of course, is a phenomenal vocalist. And they with Joakim's help a little bit,
yeah.
They all kind of triple team the rest of the Sabaton set.
Right.
Joakim's running around playing cheerleader, getting the crowd pumped up, running on. They have this weird thing where they have a table on stage with, I guess, some contest winners or something. And he sits down and they're drinking vodka and they're eating food.
You can go go to YouTube and look it up. There's like people hanging out on stage eating food and drinking.
Yeah, Sabaton.
At a table, it was weird.
Sabaton, they had on their Instagram stories, like someone filming like the actual table.
Oh, really?
And he would run over there and hang out with them and drink some shots or whatever, and then run back and do more cheerleading and stuff. And it was just like I went that night and was monitoring, looking at Twitter and looking at all the reactions and doing a Twitter search on Sabaton. And it's all these people typing in French how much they love Sabaton. I was doing the Twitter translate. And they just, everyone's talking about how Manowar were posers, how Manowar sucked, how Sabaton ruled, how like they were so grateful for Sabaton. This is like, I mean, maybe I'm being hyperbolic, but I think knowing how the scene works over there, festival promoters know other festival promoters, news travels, and, you know, especially in the internet age now, this is Sabaton's graduation moment right here. like this is them ascending to the next level. Like, welcome to your perennial festival headliners now, because people are going to remember this.
Oh yeah.
And Manowar, this is a sad state.
The other band that I can remember the first band that I watched live was Death Angel. Phenomenal show. Okay, so I'm looking at this Hellfest lineup, dude. It's really phenomenal.
Yeah.
The kind of wide variety of different rock metal bands that will play a festival like this. So Friday night you had supposedly Manowar, so now with Sabaton headlining, right? You had on one stage Dropkick Murphys, Dream Theater, Demons and Wizards, Godsmack, Sonata Arctica, Gloryhammer.
Right.
On the same stage.
Right.
That's one day. That's like one stage. Then you had Gojira, King Diamond, Hellhammer, Venom Inc., Impale Nazarene, Uwata, Carcass, Possessed, Pestilence. This is the first day, dude.
Right.
Yeah. Then another stage, you had Sum 41 and Descendants, and then you had Fu Manchu. And it's like every style of music is covered on this festival.
Right. Yeah.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah. And Saturday was pretty good, too.
Dude, Saturday he had Bloodbath, Dark Tranquility, Candlemass, Moonspell, Archspire, Elegion. Fuck, dude.
Yeah, yeah. And even like on the main stage over there, like, yeah, okay, maybe you're not into Kiss, but they're playing Hellfest. They're playing a European festival. They're going to bring their A-game show.
Emperor still played this show.
Still be fun to watch them.
Emperor was here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Slayer's Finals, French Show, Lamb of God. Why does Lamb of God always be on a... Why are they always on a show like this?
No.
Anytime you have Slayer and Anthrax playing together, there is Lamb of God.
They all kind of run together.
Testament, Death Angel, Trivium. I mean, that's pretty fucking awesome.
That one hardcore Slayer fan who listens to this show is going to just hate us more. I remember that one time.
No, we weren't talking about him at all.
Criticized him, and he was like, tell him to stop talking about Slayer.
No, we're talking about Lamb of God, who I can appreciate Lamb of God for what they are. I'm just not a fan.
Right.
But man, even looking at the schedule, the lineup for Grass Pop, I mean, you had bands from like Aborted, Agnostic Front, Anthrax, fucking Bortnagar played. You had why'd you have a Rage Against the Machine tribute band on this tour? But whatever. Cellar Darling, Carcass, Children of Boredom, Candlebox, and Candlemass together.
Really?
It's pretty cool, yeah. Not together at the same time, but Clutch, Death Angel, Def Leppard, Delane, Demons and fucking Wizard, man. Eagles of Death Metal. This other band, Icebreaker. Have you heard of these guys before? A German band.
Icebreaker?
E-I-S-B-R-E-C-H-E-R.
Uh-uh.
Icebreaker. No. I watched their live performance. A lot of fun.
Okay.
It was, do you remember that band Clawfinger?
Yeah, I know
they
name.
Very much in that style to me. Flesh God Apocalypse played. Glenn Hughes playing Deep Purple songs with Gloryhammer together. Grand Magus, Hammerfall, Hailstorm. It's just Insomnium. Oh, yeah. I want shows like that here, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And there's some festival shows that try to do it, like the Health Heroes had a bunch of different bands, but they were all in the same sort of style in a way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotta say, like, I in retrospect, like, looking at that show, I'm like, man, I feel really lucky that I got to like see how.
And I'm not talking bad about that show at all, but of course
I hope they can do that every
year. I'm sure they will. It's doing really well.
So fun.
It's just I want to see bands, even if I don't like the band on different bands. Even if I don't like the band, like, I would sit through Def Leppard if they open up for Slayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you know what I mean?
Right,
or if Emperor and Def Leppard played together, I would suffer through Def Leppard.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, the European festival has always been about variety.
Yeah.
I remember hearing Henry Rollins tell stories about how he had to go on right before Sheryl Crow, of all people.
Right.
You know, just weird stuff like that. So, yeah, it's...
Leonard Skinner was playing a bunch of these festivals over the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, they played both of these shows. I'm like, all right.
The lineups, I think, as these older bands go away, it's going to get more and more interesting, like, diverse and stuff. So, and people will come to these... I think they're going to... People will still come because it's just a great event. You know, like... These promoters have realized that we have to make it more about than just the headliner. these festivals sell out before they even have the headliners announced half the time. Anyway, yes. At least Vakken does. So
right. One of the bands that I did see live is this band, Wigadude.
I've heard that.
Wigadude. Yeah. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but they were pretty fucking great.
Okay.
I liked them. Huh. Very atmospheric, you know, raw fucking black metal.
Okay.
Yeah. They were pretty
fucking, Oh, right. We were watching
a little bit of it earlier. Yeah. All right. So moving on from the festivals, what's our takeaway from that?
Shame on Manowar.
Exactly. Manowar are douches.
Just, I don't know how you claim to be like true metal and you're not even metal enough to go up on stage like and deliver like an angry chip on your shoulder performance, you know?
That's fucking over your fans at that point. Yeah. It's not the promoters. It's not that suffer through that shit, guys.
Well, you know, this is the band that fucks over their fans quite a bit, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm not like convinced they really care about that, or at least Joey DeMaio. I think Eric Adams is a good guy, I think, but Joey DeMaio is a known asshole. Like, and for me, the one thing I wonder about him is like, don't you care about the optics of the situation? Don't you care about what people think about this and how, and you know what Joakim said on stage, like when they went on, he said, we don't cancel. I mean, that's like brutal. Just one line evisceration of this band that claims to be the kings of metal.
Like, I think Sabaton are turning into the kings of metal.
Yeah,
truthfully,
I think they took the crown that night, and
they've been going in that direction for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were there on the ground floor, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching like 30 people in the crowd watching them, and yeah,
that was a great show.
Yeah,
yeah. I remember. I used to be really into Stuck Mojo for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they played Fit one time, and there was like 10 to 12 people at the show.
Yeah, I'd believe it.
And they were taking fucking requests from the audience and shit. There was somebody else that was there to see. I can't remember, but
right.
That was crazy. Let's get into the next band.
Yeah.
Oktobertide. This is some killer, killer death doom. You know about this band, right?
No, I keep looking at the name and thinking of October Falls.
Nope.
Another band. Yeah.
So they started back in the mid 90s, like 95 ish. It was started by Jonas Runke from Catatonia and Frederick Norman.
Okay.
They're no longer in the band, or Fred Norman is, but Jonas has not been in the band for a long time. But it's really fucking high quality death doom. The production on this new album is fucking crystal clear, dude. It's really fucking great.
Yeah.
This new album is called, I can't think of the name of it. It's written down here, In Splendor Below. Yeah. So the song we're going to hear is I, the Polluter. I'm going to let you listen to it, and we're going to come back and talk about it more.
Yeah.
And then you have a band after that I have never heard. So this will be fun.
Oh, you never heard these guys?
No.
Okay.
I've heard you mention them, but I haven't heard them yet.
Okay.
Let's get into it. We'll be right back.
Precious and girls, they were a sham.
MSRcast 221.
You almost forgot.
I almost forgot.
Damn.
Yeah. So that was a band called Paladin from Atlanta. And they have just released their new album, their debut album called Ascension. I started hearing about this band like back in February because they had a demo that came out. I think it was like either sometime last year or the year before that. And like they had just been building hype. And like local hype and regional hype, and pretty soon, like, you know,
just power
metal internet got a hold of them, and they described themselves as power thrash.
Yeah,
and they say
I can definitely hear that.
They say that their mission is to bring European, like kind of like a European style to American power metal, and I definitely hear that because it's a collision of different sounds in their music. And they're not afraid, as in the song, you know, we just heard, to have like extreme vocals on there and mixed up with like, you know, very, you know, awesome ripping clean melodic passages and stuff.
Well, you got to seize the day, man.
Yeah, I mean, the song was Carpe Diem. That's my favorite song on the album. There's other good stuff on the album. You know, I was listening to it a lot this weekend. I think that for a debut, it's very good. I think they can get better. There was some stuff on the record that I was, I thought like, could have used a little bit more work in the chorus department, a little bit more of a hook or something. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like this is an exciting band. And they seem really keyed up to tour. So if I'm looking forward to any kind of like Visigoth Paladin tour coming through Houston. Like, yes, let's make this happen. Like, these guys seem to be like out there for it to be like road dogs. So, another American band. They just like keep popping up. America, Canada. Just
where are they from North again? America,
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Yeah, which is, you know, like aside from Theocracy, I don't really know, or I can't really think of a lot of bands.
Yeah, right.
Even though Atlanta has prog power there, it's not. It hasn't been known as being like a hotbed for like, you know, metal. So that's cool to have another band from that region.
Hmm. Very cool.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're gonna have good singing. They're on Prosthetic Records.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, I know, it's weird.
All right. And before that, we heard something from the brand new October Tide album called I, the Polluter. Now, that's the first time you've heard them.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, speaking of a collision of different styles.
Yeah, definitely.
I heard like 3 or 4 different bands in there.
Yeah.
But I liked it. Yeah. And I was telling you, I was like, I appreciate the good, crisp production because I think that this style of metal demands that kind of production. It demands crispness and stuff. Like the more I've been listening to Swallow the Sun over the years and even the Hell of Warren album this year and everything, I'm just like, yeah, this is good. Like
Hell of Warren album is so good.
Yeah. Well,
so good.
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know why, but like, you know, like death metal can get away with being like, actually, I guess from my taste, I like death metal, like regular pure death metal to have a little bit of fuzz and buzz to it. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, Entombed and stuff.
About to say that style of Swedish Entombed metal.
But like Mellow Death, it has to have a warm sound for me.
A warm and clean.
Warm and clean.
Yeah, I totally get you.
I don't like too much clinical sound in my death metal because then it sounds like tech death and I'm just not into tech death personally.
Oh, really?
But with like Death Doom, I find it has to be on that right side of like having a cold and forbidding tone, but still be like clean without being technical.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. But
no, it totally makes sense to me.
Yeah. And they pull it off. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah. They've been around since 1995. I'm trying to remember when,
yet another one of these bands that just has existed for ages and I'm just hearing about.
Well, I've been a fan of them for a while. I know. Cause I got into them cause they were continuing on what early Catatonia was doing, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe not so much now, but a little bit.
Right.
There's still some of that early Catatonia in their new stuff.
It's definitely heavier than current Catatonia.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah. Everything is heavier than current Catatonia, but I love Catatonia in all iterations. So, you know what I mean? Check out the brand new October Tide album. It is called In Splendor Below. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with it.
Yeah, it's going on the list for me.
Cool.
The Spotify, the ever-growing Spotify I have to listen to.
Yeah.
List.
So we're going to take a little bit of a sad moment here on the show and talk about an amazing vocalist who passed away way too early.
Yeah.
Andre Matos passed away at the age of 47 from a heart attack.
Yeah.
Wow. That is so young, dude.
I hate that we have to do this so much. And the thing is, we're not going to not talk about Andre Matos. It's fucking Andre Matos. It's just such a bummer that it seems like this is just increasing. Like, we just do this every couple episodes and we're just like, oh, enough. This one really hit me hard. Like, when I found out about this, I was kind of just distracted for the rest of the day, and the next day I didn't listen to Angra or Viper or anything for like a few days after that. I was just kind of I just couldn't deal with it. And then finally, like a couple, like 4 days after, I went and I was like, all right, I'm not gonna listen to Angra, but I'm gonna go listen to those old Viper records because I remember those being fun. And I went and listened to Viper and I was like, yeah, this is great. And then I finally got around to listening to like
The Anger album?
Yeah, the first three Anger records.
You know,
like, oh, God.
Yeah, I did that too. And I listened to, he did a solo album, sort of like an album with Sasha Pace.
Yeah.
Which I'd never heard before. It was really good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. In fact, Dr. Metal did a tribute episode to him this past week. And it was just nothing but like anything that he was involved with, he played. Sure. And he,
I was thinking about actually throwing some Avantasia in here, but
he went, and he did some interviews. He had some old interviews from like 99 and 2001 stuff that he like interspliced in the show. And it was great just to hear him tell stories about stuff. And I don't know, it was a cool episode.
Where do people find Dr. Metal at? I know we talk about him. He's one of your loyal friends, but
his show airs on WRW, which is a online radio station also in Cleveland, but it's a college terrestrial radio station there too. On Tuesdays, I think at like 5 p.m. Central.
Do they podcast it later? Or is there the download you can listen to?
Yeah, you can go there and find his show under the Tuesday section, and they have that week's episode up, and then it's gone.
Oh,
but
forever.
You can only stream it. You can't download it. And sometimes I just wish he would just throw these up on YouTube or something, or Spotify, or make a podcast.
Make a podcast out of it, bro.
He's old school. He's like, podcast. I'm like, no, trust me. Like, this would be great. I could throw you around to different places. And anyway, but
let's make him part of the group, and then we'll do it for you. Can do it for him.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not offering my expertise,
he did a great show though. It was a great tribute episode. And it made me just nostalgic for everything about Andre Matos. And actually, I went and went on this huge Anger binge after that, like even listening to some of the Edu stuff.
I love Aqua.
Yeah.
It's a good great album.
I mean, you know, it wasn't like my favorite, but in retrospect, like going back and listening to it, like what was that, 2010 or something, 8?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, it was a pretty good record. It wasn't my favorite record, but it was pretty damn good. And like the one they did in 2004... the second one with Edu was pretty good too. I can't remember. I always forget the name of that one. But Rebirth will always be my favorite, I think, Anger record. But that's not to discount anything with Andre, because those first three Anger records are just, you know, obviously classics, you know, for a reason. And I didn't hear Anger until 99 on that radio, on Dr. Metal's radio show. And he played, I think it was a Carry On and... couple other songs, and like I was just like, whoa, from Brazil, power metal exists in Brazil, are you kidding me? So
not much, but
yeah, and you know, it's a bummer. I always just kind of envisioned him getting back together with Angra eventually and doing that, you know, those reunion shows, because if you know, everyone's doing it at some point, and it just seemed like that would be the logical progression after this current era with Fabio. And just the fact that we're not going to get that, because they had sort of made amends too, like behind the scenes, I think, him and the rest of the guys in the band and stuff. And
they could have done one of those Halloween tours where it was multiple vocalists. And
dude, that would have been amazing to have all three of those guys on there. Yeah.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Kiko's a little busy right now. He wouldn't be able to do much.
Yeah. I think they could have found a time to do it, but you know, you would think about these things and you don't do them, and it's just like,
maybe Kiko won't be busy for a little while.
Yeah, I know.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
So let's get into our small little tribute to Andre here. We're gonna get into Angra.
Yeah.
The song you just mentioned, Carry On.
Yeah, from, the only song we could play right now.
Yeah, from Angels Cry, their very first album, actually. And then something that I'm really into, I really love that Symphony album that he was on.
Right.
Yeah. With Mr. Timo Toki, who we might play later in the show, too.
Right, man.
Yeah.
Timo's around these days.
He's a workhorse, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, In Symphonia was a great album. The drummer from Halloween, and it's just all around great power metal.
Yeah.
And yeah, Andre's vocals really carried that album through. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Really, really cool.
If you know, I know that Viper went under the radar for a lot of people. Man, those Viper records he was on,
yeah,
those are good records. Like, just, I mean, it was like almost like proto, like early speed metal, power metal mix, like with, you know, just that weird, it was like that melange. It wasn't pure what we know as Angra type style power metal, but he was such a talented dude. He was a classical pianist. He was like trained in musical theory, like like Angels Cry, pretty much that was him. I know that Raphael helped in the songwriting and Kiko helped like a little bit, but that was pretty much him, like his entire artistic vision. Like that was the album that he had the most input on. He sort of was distant on Fireworks a lot, but that album, this album was the one that was like definitively Andre Matos. So
very, very cool. So let's pay our small little tribute. Rest in peace, our friend. Your voice will never be forgotten. Here you go. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to MSR Cast number 221. We just paid our tribute the way we could to Mr. Andre Matos, who unfortunately passed away a couple weeks ago at a very early age of 47, man.
Yeah.
I know they said it was a heart attack, but there's no other further information. Have you heard anything?
No, I think that I don't even know if they confirmed that, but I think that's just what everyone guessed or something.
Oh, really? It's not really confirmed either.
Yeah, I don't think the family said anything, you know, nor I don't think they're going to ever say anything, but I heard about it through just like opening up Instagram and Tobias Sammet was posting a message and I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
You know, and it was crazy because he had just played with them on stage like 3 days before his death.
Mm.
Like that, they ended the tour in Brazil and he was there for that final show.
Oh, wow.
So at least he got that. I mean, at least, you know, that was like, you know.
It was his final show then.
Yeah, final show. Yeah.
That sucks, man. It's always had when somebody that talented is taken away so early.
Yeah. That's a blow to Brazil, you know. Yeah.
All right. So what do you want to talk about, my friend? Do you have any topics? Have you been listening to a lot of new music recently?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I've been doing. I mean, I have been listening to, going back and listening to just various, like I said, I was listening to a ton of Angra and then, you know, offshooting there, going back and listening to like old power metal bands and stuff. And I'm doing this long power metal piece and I'm trying to figure it. So I'm like delving into a lot of different things. So
let me ask you, who is your favorite power metal band of all time?
Ooh. Gun to my head, I would say Ed Guy / Avantasia.
Really?
Yeah. I would put Blind Guardian up there, but sometimes I consider them elevated above power metal. You know, like when I think about if you're talking about classic power metal, that sound, I think about Ed Guy and Avantasia. If we're talking about if you consider Blind Guardian a part of it,
I do.
Then I would have to say Blind Guardian because they're my second favorite band of all time, so they eclipse them just by default.
So who is your first favorite band of all time?
Iron Maiden.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes they're right neck and neck, but it's Iron Maiden's historically, you know. It's like Anthrax. It's like no one can really dethrone Anthrax, I'm sure, right? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny, we were doing grocery shopping yesterday in Walmart, and we were looking through the electronics section.
Uh-huh.
They have vinyl there now. Yeah. Guess what they have on vinyl at Walmart?
Wow.
Well, Number of the Beast.
Oh, wow.
I was like, man. Okay, this is weird.
Times have changed, Walmart.
I know, right? Right up front in the middle of the vinyl section was fucking Number of the Beast. I'm like, right.
Do they still have CDs there?
Yeah, they have a little bit.
Wow. Maybe the only place in America right now.
No shit.
Well, major retailer, yeah.
Yeah. I ordered that Beelzebub's CD.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because Dave was talking about, he was looking through it. It's like the whole story and everything. So I want the whole experience. I actually bought the graphic novel, the book for Beelzebub. And this same guy, the same writer, does another series too. And I picked that up as well at Bedrock City.
They have like a little package deal or anything?
No, unfortunately not. But I picked up it at our local comic shop, so
that's cool
stuff.
Yeah,
If you like Beelzebub, pick up the guy's writing. It's really fun.
If you're wondering what we're talking about, we played them on the last episode.
We did.
You should have listened to that already. So
if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to keep on the Timo Tolki bandwagon for a little bit.
Mm, yeah.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
We were just talking about him during the break, too.
Yeah.
So the last song we finished up with in our tribute to Andre Matos was Symphonia, which is the band he was in with Timo Tolki.
Right.
Timo did most of the writing on this, but you can definitely hear his influences as well, I think.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah.
Symphonia, I really liked that album. It was really good.
Yeah. It was like a pure Timo Tolki created project.
Mm-hmm.
He has Avalon right now. Timo Tolki's Avalon.
Yep.
Who is a front? You know, they're a Frontiers Records label project, and it's sort of like with Frontiers Records, you get a lot of you get a lot of label input, basically. And I think he was kind of okay with that, from my understanding. because I think that he basically wrote these songs and the label started recruiting people to come sing on it. But the cast list that he's assembled for the album, pretty damn good. Like, it's nice to hear Zach Stevens. He's on two tracks.
I know. It's really good too. Yeah, they're really just like, good. It brings you right back to my love of Sabotage, man. I was just like, so great.
Annika is on two songs.
Who is that?
and I'm trying to remember her name. She's the vocalist in, I can't remember. Was it Marguerite something? She's on the album two and two songs. I'm going to have to remember her name. But it's got a pretty impressive little cast, like in terms of like, you know, European metal names and people who run in that circle.
What's the name of the new album?
It is, Return to Avalon.
Return to Avalon.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, I guess.
I was listening to this, for the past few days. It's pretty good. It's enjoyable in a way that I never thought that I'd be able to kind of enjoy another Timo Tolki record again.
I thought it was Return to Eden.
Is it Return to Eden?
Maybe, isn't it?
Avalon Eden. I'm sure they're right next to each other. he had such a, I don't know, catastrophic end with Stradivarius, you know, that self-titled album in 2005.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, yeah, you know, whatever you got to do to get away from the band, it would probably be in everyone's best interests. And I don't know, I guess it's like nice to enjoy stuff by him again, because sometimes he's such a outlandish personality in his way, sure. Like, especially on the internet. Timo Tolki and the internet don't really mix. If you follow his social media, you'll know he's kind of a bipolar guy. But sometimes I have to remind myself, like, this is the guy who wrote Visions, you know? It's like, oh, okay, I'll at least listen to whatever you have to say. You know, you knocked out Visions and Destiny and Infinite and all these albums I remember just loving at the time. So, yeah, respect to Timo Tolki.
For sure, definitely, for sure. Let's talk about the song we're going to play. This is a song called Hear My Call. It's from Return to Eden. Eden.
Oh, Eden, okay.
Featuring somebody I get to meet in a few months.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that she's not only she always sounds great on everything, but like the song type was good for her voice, and it had a nice hook in the middle. It's not like overtly poppy. It's like almost I kind of got like a nice Within Temptation vibe, where there's more of a dramatic arc to the song rather than just a pop hook. And I liked it, and it was the one song that I kept on going back to.
He can definitely write some poppy hooks.
He's got them in him. Yeah. So,
all right. So let's check out something from the brand new Timo Tolki's Avalon. This is Hear My Call featuring Annika van Giersbergen. Yes.
Creepy whispers. welcome back, MSRcast 221.
Wasn't that a TV show?
I'm going to say Aitha Namer.
227.
Yeah, 227. I'm going to say this band is pronounced Aitha Namer.
I'm going to say Ape Hammer.
Yeah, I mean, and there's phonetically, I can't contradict you. Well, I guess I can, because you're missing the P-H-A. Anyway, this is an incredibly exciting band from France.
Oh, really?
Of all places. I had no part in discovering this. I was laziness is what caused me to discover this band. I was playing the Glory Hammer record on Spotify. As soon as it finishes, it kicks you over to whatever it recommends. This is what it landed on, and I just perked up, was like, what is this? And it was this song, and I love this album. Like, I have just been listening to it. It's like, just that song is a pretty good indication of what everything else on the album is sort of like, but there's so much variety on there. They bounce from thing to thing. They use a lot of shifting tempos and kind of like counter melodies and stuff, and just it's just all over the place. It's really inventive, and I like the idea of like Melodeath from France, which is not something I typically associate together. The vocalist I thought was really good. She is her name is Marianne Bascule, and she handles rhythm guitars and does vocals. And yeah, just this band, this is their second album. The album is called
Procopton. So Aitha Namer is a merge of the two French words ephemeral and fané, which is wilted.
So wilted ephemeral, basically. Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Which is very Alceste-like.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Yeah. But I appreciate a band from France just sounding entirely different, and it kind of reminds me of who was it, Elven Storm last year?
Mm-hmm.
Like this band from France that just played this dirty, like thrashy power metal. It's just like, yeah, like I love this variety coming from that country. But I'm addicted to this album. I this has been like my heavy rotation this entire week, and
I can see why.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's just a fun record. And yeah, this is like something we were talking about in the break. It was like, we need to recommend this to Justin. And I was like, yeah, I kind of feel bad that I haven't sent this over to him, like after he helped me out with the Thormesis pick and everything. So,
right.
Yeah. Sorry, Justin.
Our good friend of the show. He's our guest co-host every once in a while. But yeah, check out him on his own podcast. Go ahead. What's his podcast?
Oh, the Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast.
There you go.
Yeah. See, I pay attention.
I was testing you.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I'm going to definitely have to check these guys out. I really enjoyed what I heard.
Yeah. No, it's a fun record.
And before Aitha Namer, that sounds right. Sure. Timo Tolkki's Avalon. This is the second or third Avalon album he's done.
The third one, I think.
Third?
Yeah.
So the song Hear My Call, featuring Annika van Giersbergen, Return to Eden is the name of the album. So if you're a fan of Timo Tolkki, he's putting out more quality stuff for you to listen to.
Yeah.
I really liked the Zach Stevens stuff on this album.
Yeah, no, so it was good. I kind of debated on picking one of those songs, actually, for this, but I figured, well, you know, Annika. Probably have to represent Annika. Yeah.
Another sad bit of news we're gonna have to get into. Just announced this week, Dave Mustaine, Megadeth frontman, announced that he has cancer.
Yeah.
Throat cancer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe all those years of the harsh vocals, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. You never know.
I feel they've caught it early. He's going through a treatment process now, but he has to go through this process. And they say they've caught it early, and there's like a 90% chance for him, which is great.
Yeah. He sounded pretty upbeat in the message he posted. So that's
it was
good.
Posted everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, the rest of the guys might take a little time off, you know, while he recovers and, you know, does what he needs to do to get better. Because Megadeth needs to survive, man. That's one of my favorite thrash bands.
Yeah.
even though, you know, they've gone through so many different iterations and styles.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fool myself. There was a couple albums where it is, yeah, not good.
Yeah, I mean, Risk and Super Collider.
Collider, yeah, that was the one.
That last album was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it was legitimately awesome. And
they,
just like,
they put on fucking killer shows every time I see them.
You know, I think back to like when Bruce had his cancer thing, it delayed that Maiden album by about like a year and a half to two years. So, you know, same time, I would expect there to be almost a similar, if not quite that much time frame with the Megadeth thing. So
this would give Kiko time to go back to Anchor and do some stuff. But
yeah.
That reunion tour is not going to happen now like that.
Jesus.
We're just bumming everybody out tonight. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave Ellison has his second book is coming out sometime this summer.
Huh.
Maybe he can tour more with Attitude and Altitude. That's the band name. Him and Frank Bello.
Oh, are they still doing that?
Yeah, they just put a new album out last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
I missed when Dave Ellison came and did that spoken word tour thing.
Right, yeah.
That would have been cool.
That was at that small BFE, right?
I believe so.
I always thought that Dave Ellison had a chance to have a secondary kind of thing going, almost like he could have like a show on Sirius or something. He's got a good voice for it, whatever.
He's a really nice guy.
Nice guy, easy going. Everyone likes him, you know.
I got to interview him. Well, not interview him, but I got to moderate his panel.
Right.
When he was a guest at Come Close It, which was what, 2015, 2016?
Yeah.
3 or 4 or 5 years. God. Time goes by fast, man.
I think he should like be one of those guys who has like his podcast where he interviews people in the industry.
I know he has his own coffee company. He has his own record label now, which Hellstar is on his record label.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he's doing stuff.
Branching out, right?
Yeah, he's doing stuff. So, you know, it's good for him.
He doesn't still do that F5 band, does he?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He had a band with James Rivera at one point. I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's slipping my mind.
I vaguely remember something like that. Too many things.
I got to look this up now because now it's bugging me that I don't remember.
My thing with Dave is just like we all just wanted to recover and be healthy and stuff and just be, you know, be here,
yeah,
and everything. But man, I hope this doesn't like destroy or limit some of his vocal ability. Bruce's like vocal comeback, you know, like seeing him on stage like after that whole cancer thing was just like incredible.
Killing Machine. Yeah, it was the name
of it. Okay. Huh. It's a pretty damn good name. And I nothing but the best for Dave. As much as he says stuff that makes us all just sort of like look away or shake our heads every now and then, he's still an important metal part of metal history and
for sure he still is
metal. Yeah,
he's still a talented songwriter, talented musician. No matter what you think of Megadeth, what you think of Dave Mustaine personally or whatever, right. We wish him well. We want him to get better so we have more Megadeth
right
in our lives, man.
Yep.
We're gonna play one of my favorite Megadeth songs ever. This is not the version that was redone. I'm going to play the original version that was on Hidden Treasures, that compilation album that came out back in the late 90s or early 2000s.
Yeah.
New World Order. Absolutely love the song.
Yeah, great song.
It's an amazing song.
Deep Megadeth cut, but a classic one.
Yes. They played this live every once in a while, and but you know, like Dave tends to do, he tends to remaster a lot of the stuff and makes it worse.
Right. Yeah.
When they re-recorded the song.
What album was it? United Abominations or no, it was, it wasn't, no, I think it was United Abominations, right? Cause it wasn't System Has Failed. I don't think.
Maybe it was. I'm trying to remember. I mean,
and then there was that one I always forget from like 2010. I always like can't remember the title of that album.
Which one's that?
I don't know.
2010 or 2011 was 13.
13. Okay,
I
yeah,
think
13.
That's what this the remake was done from. Let me double check. Let's see here.
I don't think I was wild about that album. Yeah, I think
New World Order. Yeah, it was re-recorded on 13.
Yeah, sometime a long time ago on the blog, I wrote a ranking of the Megadeth albums at that time.
Did you?
And I remember that like Super Collider was like at the
No,
he's either at the bottom or like right above Risk or something.
Public Enemy number one. That wasn't a bad song on
that
album.
That was good. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah,
Sudden Death was. I mean, it wasn't a horrible album. I mean, in the Megadeth metal album sphere, it's not the worst.
Yeah, sometimes you know all these years pass by and you listen to like old stuff like that. And you go like, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. It's for some reason, it's like when it comes out, the weight of expectation is upon it.
Sure.
And all the history is like staring it in the face and it just cowers in the moment.
And we were talking about Brisk wasn't as bad as what's that other one?
Super Collider.
Super Collider. I think Super Collider was his attempt to try to create some kind of radio friendly,
I don't know what Super Collider was, honestly.
I don't either.
I know that Risk was his attempt to create a radio friendly thing because they had like Bud Prager involved and they had like a concerted push to go to radio and to service that song Crush 'Em to radio. And it partially succeeded and ultimately it was like a small victory to lose a greater war, you know, that set them back immensely. And, oh, no. You know what it was? The World Needs a Hero. That was my bottom. Because that was my bottom Megadeth record. Because I think the album sucks. And I thought the Risk was at least halfway interesting. So I put The World Needs a Hero right at the bottom. I think Super Quieter is like above Risk or something. But, yeah.
Man. Risk is the album I was thinking of, yeah.
World Needs a Hero so bad. Like, even songs I thought were good at the time, like the Moto Psycho, were just bad. I remember I bought my friend Matt Roy a copy of it, and like when it came out, just because I'm like, oh, a new Megadeth album, you know, like they're going back to the roots or whatever.
They did a Return to Hangar on that album. Come on,
so
dude.
So bad. And I gave it to him, and he the next time I saw him, he was like, you know what? I don't want this. So yeah, that was the end of his Megadeth interest.
Nice. All right, so. Get well, Dave Mustaine. The world needs a metal hero like you, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, cancer sucks for anybody. I don't wish cancer on anybody.
Yeah. And
it just sucks that he's going through it, but it looks like, you know, like we said, they've caught it and the treatment seems like it's going to work.
Yeah.
So all we can do is, you know, wish them well and hope for them some more Megadeth soon.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, let's get some New World Order up in here.
Yeah.
Check it out. Boss is gone.
MSRcast 221 and the Kingdom of Fife.
Holy fucking glory hammer. Man. Holy fucking glory hammer, Batman.
I've been actually reading during the breaks on the pod tonight the backstory with those records.
It's very glorified, isn't it?
I'm up to date now on Angus McFife and all these other guys.
I need to figure out the whole storyline and all that. Because truthfully, this is the very first Glory Hammer album I've heard in its entirety, completely.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I've obviously, you know, people who read my blog, they know that I have been critical of stuff like this. Not Glory Hammer particularly, because even when I reviewed their last record, Space 1992, it was a good record. I enjoyed like listening to it. Sometimes I guess my problem, and I've changed, I can feel myself changing now because I've talked to a lot of people about Glory Hammer and, but like an anecdote. Okay. So I know a guy who went to a show in Arizona, the Glory Hammer concert in Phoenix.
Okay.
And he said that, you know, the crowd at the Glory Hammer show was pretty much a non-metal crowd for the most part. It was just like people who are Glory Hammer fans, not really metal fans, if that makes any sense. And I've seen crowds like that before. Like at Ailstorm, you go to see an Ailstorm headlining show.
Yeah.
those are most of those people are Alestorm fans, not like metal fans. Like just like, I'm a metal fan and there's a metal show, I'm here. And I think
I can see Gloryhammer having that following.
Yeah, absolutely. They do. And he was saying how, and we were having this discussion about like how sometimes that, you know, it bothers him that like he knows that a lot of these guys are going to go home and these people attended the show, they're not going to check out anything further. The hope with a band like Gloryhammer is that one or two of these people go to each one of these shows, or anyone who buys the record will actually go, I really like this band's sound, this is fun, I wonder what else sounds like this, and then maybe like explore somewhere. Like if this is a gateway band, and I think they are, then I think it can only be a good thing. And so I think that there's like, you listen to this album and it's just like clear who their influences are. Classic power metal influences. This is music written by guys who clearly love power metal. And so it's all at once, it's almost a tribute as well as a kind of a riffing, like a parody of it, you know?
But a loving parody.
A loving parody, I think.
Like,
yeah.
Weird Al is a loving parody, and, you know, Gore is a loving parody of stuff. And
right.
I think of these guys in the same breath as a band, say, like Gore, or trying to think of who else would even, like, fall in that category.
Well, I mean, in terms of just speaking, like, strictly power metal, I think about, like, a band like Rhapsody, who did, like, in-depth storylines and their own imaginative...
Narrative-driven
universe, like, their own, like, world-building.
Yeah.
And as ridiculous as it is, Christopher Bose has world-build for the Gloryhammer plot. Like, there's an actual... alternative universe where all these things happen, basically, or like an alternative fiction of fictional Scotland, basically, is where it all takes place, fantasy Scotland. And it's funny, and it's like, it's amusing, and I like it. My hope is that people listen to this record or went to, you know, the festival, Hellfest, and saw them there will be like, okay, I need to go listen to more power metal now. And not just kind of a one and done, like, this is my take on power metal.
Sure.
Just, like, and so that's my changing of opinion, where I was just like, I used to be bothered by it because I could admit to being bothered by it, where it would be like, it's annoying that mainstream press and all these other people are covering a band like Gloryhammer and then just disregarding decades of history and years of history and albums and bands with power metal. And just holding this one thing up and kind of laughing at it and claiming to enjoy it or enjoying it or whatever.
Yeah, I feel that. I want them to use this as a catalyst to discover more and not use it as a, oh, this is, look how stupid this is.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. And I think the great thing with Gloryhammer is that they have like an incredible vocalist. That guy is amazing.
And they write catchy as fuck tunes.
Yeah.
And that's what you need. They have all the perfect elements that make a perfect modern power metal band. They have catchy as hell hooks, great vocalist, great musicians around the whole band, a lot of keyboards.
Yeah.
And not just keyboards for the sake of having a keyboard, but keyboards being part of the song and the style of the band.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All these guys in the band, they play roles, like the characters. They're mm-hmm. in the major
I've seen one of the videos. They're all superheroes.
Yeah. Yeah, or like, well, because Christopher Bowes actually plays the evil wizard, basically.
Oh, okay.
And and Angus McFife is the singer, Thomas. I forgot his last name. But he – but yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's absolutely fun. And and the fact is, like, that kind of talent, like, he actually auditioned to be the singer of Dragon Force when ZP left, and he put his video up, I think, on YouTube or something, and that's how Christopher found him.
Oh, yeah.
As much as I dislike Alestorm, Christopher's other project where he's the lead vocalist,
what?
yeah, Chris Bowles.
Yeah.
Of Alestorm. This mm-hmm. is his band also.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't tour with them. They have a touring keyboardist who goes on the road with them, but he's the guy. He's the basically the mastermind.
He's like the mastermind behind it. Yeah. Okay.
And everything about...
Why do they tour with Gloryhammer?
I think it's just like, it'd be too much, you know? Like, it'd be exhausting, I think. Because from people who... I know people who know him, And that's the word that I've gotten back is like it'd just be exhausting.
Well, at this point in his career, okay. In this point of the career, Gloryhammer is at a much bigger level than Alestorm. In my mind's eye, what I see.
Yeah, they're still two viable touring entities, though.
Yeah.
But Gloryhammer, this album debuted in Germany at number 6. That's pretty big deal. So, yeah, they're getting huge. You know, they had a big pop at Hellfest, apparently, too. So, it's good. I mean, anything that shines a spotlight on power metal, I'm all for. I just hope these fans that do see it go towards it. And, you know, it's like the Beelzebubs.
Yeah.
Beelzebubs. Like, if someone who's not into metal like this, like, picks up on this and, like, reads it. And I was actually reading some of this. It's great. I love it.
Fucking funny.
Yeah, the strip is great. If they see that music video on YouTube and they're hearing vocals by, you know, these awesome vocals by the Insomnium guy, they don't know who Insomnium is. I hope it leads them to becoming an Insomnium fan or just a metal, like an extreme
speaking
metal
of
fan.
Insomnium, they have a new album coming out this year.
Oh, yeah.
And so does Bortnagar.
Yeah, that's a heck of a tour they got going on over there in Europe. I think it's Insomnium headlining with a Black Dahlia Murder and someone else too. It was a pretty massive like.
So Insomnium headlining above Black Dahlia Murder.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
that's interesting to me because that's always I figure Black Dahlia is bigger.
I think in America they are
and probably okay.
Right,
that makes sense.
Yeah, Bortnagar. Yeah, I saw the announcement for that too. It's gonna be interesting.
Some I like people that. Saying album of the year already.
I like that cover art. Yes. Yeah, I like well the album of the year thing. I like what was it? A day after the what was the major? What was that thing that just came out?
What are you
Dark
about?
Throne?
Oh yeah,
I like how like a day after Dark Throne came out, everyone's like, yeah, this is the album of the year. It's like, calm down. It's only been out a day.
So we talked about this a little bit on the last episode. I've been going through more of my favorite albums this year and trying to discover more and listen to more recently. And my top albums are going to surprise some people.
Yeah. Yeah. My top albums so far, at least in my what's running in my head is just surprised me too. So
really?
Yeah.
What's a hint?
We talked about this in the last episode a little bit, but I just cannot quit listening to that Thormesis record. You know, I mean, just cannot stop. It's almost like a nicotine patch or something at this point. It's just like I just use it to function almost. You know, so
I'll have to give it some more spins in.
Yeah,
if it's your drug of choice,
this Aphenamer is running. It seems to be on that same track too. Maybe I'm just like, I have a weird thing with albums this year. I'm just going to like focus on these, you know, listen to these exclusively or something. But yeah.
Yeah. I have a couple of albums that are really, really, really good. And that surprised me. And they might even take a higher spot than some albums from some of my favorite artists.
But I love this though, because in the past like 3 years, especially when we've been, you know, for the podcast, I've noticed that when we've been doing the show notes for the podcast, I will go back and look at old episodes and go, wow, like I really listened to more new bands in these past couple years than I think I have at any point.
Yeah.
In my, like, just like, cause I used to be one of those guys where I would just kind of like, you look at the release calendar, you just go like, oh, this band I know is releasing this album. This band I know is releasing this album. And now I'm just more about like, what do I not know? Like, come at me with that, you know? So.
Yeah, I try to, it's hard to keep up. And I appreciate when, so the drummer guy, Josh Rundquist, he just did his top album of the year so far.
Right.
And I listened to a lot of that stuff and I'm like, oh, I didn't know about this. I didn't know about this. It helps me because there's so much music out there. There's so much to digest and get into. Even we'll miss stuff. He'll miss stuff. Publications miss stuff. There's just so much of it.
Everyone misses stuff.
And that one thing that you miss might turn out to be your favorite album of the year.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Until you just got to check it out. And it's very time consuming. It really is.
Yeah. It's a great hobby. It's a great, great hobby now to go from just like collecting albums to now it's just like, what new band is doing something amazing that I haven't heard of? That's more the priority now. And stuff. Yeah. It's like, if I have to listen to them on Spotify, then that's where I'm going to listen to them, you know? So,
yep.
Yeah.
I agree. So I think that wraps up this episode. Let's let everybody know where they can find us. Of course, you can find MSRcast on all the social medias at MSRcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, MSRcast.com, MetalGeeks.net. Find us on iTunes. Both of our shows are together as one feed, so MSRcast and Metal Geeks. Listen to both of our shows. You know, a little bit different most of the time, but where it's all put together by me and my friends, so it's always a good metal time sometimes.
Yeah.
We try to. So you can check that out on iTunes. Subscribe there. Give us a good review. Let people know that you're listening to the show. If you have a request or anything you want to let us know, msrcast@gmail.com. And where can they find the Metal Pigeon stuff?
Oh, at the www.themetalpigeon.com, and I'm on Facebook somewhat, Twitter, and Instagram at The Metal Pigeon.
And check out his website for all his amazing reviews and thoughts that he gets down that I think about, but I don't get it out as eloquently as you do.
Yeah, I mean,
words are hard. Okay,
they're hard for me too. Trust me. If you saw the way I had to edit stuff, it takes me a long time.
I believe it.
I'm not prolific.
I haven't done a written review in a while. So
yeah.
All right. So that's going to do it for this episode. We have one last song to play. It's this new wave of, what are these guys now? I don't even know what this album is.
Yeah, and didn't we mention, we were mentioning this on the record.
And I listened to it more since the last episode.
Right.
And this song, for some reason, sticks out to me with the piano intro.
Yeah,
and
I like it a lot.
It's a really good song.
I
catchy as hell.
There was a few songs on this album what's the album? Zenith. Okay, so the new Enforcer record, Zenith. There were a couple songs in this that I thought were like, okay, that was just kind of weak. But for the most part, I really enjoyed listening to it. I just didn't think that I was listening to at no point did I think I was listening to an Enforcer record. Except there is that one song where it is kind of like a classic Enforcer vibe. But even that one was kind of like, it's weird. It's like they collected all of their experiments over the years. Uh-huh. They kept up all their other albums and just decided now is the time. On one album, everything is going to
be. Now that we sort of made it, let's put out something fucking weird.
Yeah, it's just like, all right.
Yeah, all right.
I think they're coming here soon.
They're coming, they're touring with Warbringer.
Right.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see how much stuff they include from the new record.
Right.
In their set list. You know, if it's like, because that'd be a good indicator of their confidence in it, you know?
If they're touring on this album, they got to play stuff from it.
Metallica, when they toured on Retouring Me, I think they only, Reload on that Retouring Me tour, they only played like two songs from it. Fuel and The Memory Remains.
Well, that's probably too
lack
many.
lack of confidence.
So. Okay, we're not going there.
Yeah.
So yeah, check out the new Enforcer album. It's quite different. It's very 70s influenced. I get a lot of Thin Lizzy vibes and stuff like that.
Yeah, at times also like an 80s
power
sparkly glam vibe too.
You definitely get 80s hair metal out of this album too, for sure.
And they've only sort of like visually skirted that edge where they, but sound wise, they never really approached it the way they're doing it here.
Yeah. This album would fit so well in 1984 Sunset Strip area.
It's such a strange album. I can't get over how weird it was to hear it the first time. Like, I thought that Spotify screwed up. And I was like, they got the right album in there.
Right? It says Enforcer. It does not sound like it.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll let you guys listen to it, make up your own minds. Thanks for tuning in, of course, to episode number 221 of MSRcast. As always, I've been one of your hosts, Carrie the Metal Geek.
I'm Sean the Metal Pigeon.
Keep it metal, my friend.
Keep it metal.
Unlike Enforcer. Thank you.
Here is now nothing more for me. Nothing for me.
Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
Steal your air. 'Cause what you got is what we need, and all we do is dirty deeds. Watch out with the space balls. With the master of space. Don't mess around with the space balls. In a spaceship, we're so good at being bad.